The title of the sermon this morning is Why I Tithe. We're going to take a break from the Gospel of John, our study through the Gospel of John, and we've made it through four sermons so far. We're going to take a break this morning to talk about something that's really we need to talk about at Church Acadiana from time to time, periodically, because if this was an issue that all Christians didn't struggle with, then we wouldn't have to talk about it. For example, when you take the subject of murder, this is kind of a harsh example, but if you take the subject of murder, I don't have to preach on murder very often because I know you guys don't struggle with murder. All Christians know you shouldn't murder, and Christians don't want to murder, and 99.99% of Christians don't murder. So we don't really need to talk about that. But when it comes to tithing, this is an issue that a lot of Christians struggle with. And so we obviously need to talk about it. You need encouragement with this. You need to hear God's word on this. Most studies show that the average Christian only gives about 2 to 3% to the church. And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done. That's not even close to a tithe. Why don't Christians tithe? Well, we've talked about that before. I've preached on that before. But sometimes I think it's more helpful to talk about why you should tithe or even why I tithe. I want to give you this morning my top 10 reasons for tithing. And I want you to understand my heart on this. This is not something that God wants from you, but something that God wants for you. Tithing really is a blessing for you whenever you learn to practice it consistently. And so I'm not preaching on tithing because the church is struggling for money, that we're struggling to make ends meet. That's not why I'm talking about this morning. This is really just a spiritual practice that'll make a big difference in your life that God will use to bless you. So I want you to learn all you can about it and develop a strong conviction about it. My hope is that if you're struggling to tithe consistently, if you haven't even made the commitment to tithe, that this morning would push you over the edge and help you to get started with that. So these are my top 10 reasons for tithing. We're going to be bouncing around the scriptures today and being in a lot of different books of the Bible. But number one, if you're taking notes, is I tithe because the Bible is my authority. I tithe because the Bible is my authority. I believe that the Bible is God's word. It's inspired by God, and therefore, since God inspired it, and since God authored it, and God doesn't lie, God doesn't make mistakes, that means every single word is without error. The Bible is without error. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 is the classic verse on the inspiration of Scripture. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Bible is inspired by God. It is truth without any mixture of error. And so what that means, the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture means that if God authored the Bible, then that means I have to believe it. And if God authored the Bible, that means I have to obey it. If the Bible is God's word, then that means I must believe everything that it affirms and I must obey everything that it commands. To disbelieve the Bible is to disbelieve God. And to disobey the Bible is to disobey God. And so I believe what the Bible says about tithing. And that's why I tithe. Number two. The second reason I tithe is because the Bible commands it. The Bible commands it. I tithe because the Bible is my authority, and what does the Bible say about tithing? Well, it commands us to tithe. Let me give you a definition of tithing, just in case there was any uncertainty in your mind. To tithe is to give the first 10% of your income to the local church where you attend. It's to give the first 10% of your income to the local church where you attend. The word tithe actually means one-tenth. And so you can't tithe 2% or 3%. That doesn't make sense. A tithe is a tenth. Tithing is commanded in the Old Testament. Going back to the Old Testament, Leviticus 27:30, this is part of the Torah, the law of Moses. It says, every tenth of the land's produce, grain from the soil or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. And so it's commanded in the Old Testament. The problem is that some Christians believe that tithing is no longer applicable to Christians today. Since it's an Old Testament command and we're no longer under law, but now we're under grace, we don't have to tithe anymore. And so how do we respond to that? Well, it's true that we no longer are under the law and we are under grace. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, salvation is now by grace through faith in Christ, which means we no longer need to keep the law in order to maintain a right relationship with God and go to heaven. We are saved by grace. It's a free gift through faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. As well, it's true that we're no longer under the law in the sense that there are many Old Testament laws, regulations, statutes, principles, precepts that are no longer applicable to Christians now that Christ has come. Matthew 5:17 says that Christ came to fulfill the law. Colossians 3:11 says we no longer need to be circumcised. Mark 7:19, Jesus declared all foods to be kosher, all foods to be clean. We don't have to worry about eating kosher foods and staying away from unkosher foods. Colossians 2:16-17 says that we no longer have to follow the Sabbath or keep the Sabbath. Hebrews 10:18 says we no longer need to offer sacrifices to God, because Jesus is our once-for-all perfect sacrifice. And so it's true that there are many Old Testament laws that no longer apply to Christians today, but it's not true that the Old Testament is irrelevant to Christians. It's not true that just because something was given in the Old Testament that it's no longer applicable to Christians. For example, you take the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are in the Old Testament. But we have to follow the Ten Commandments. You know, all of them except for the law of tithing, which Colossians 2:16-17 says we no longer have to follow. But all the other Ten Commandments we have to follow, and they're in the Old Testament. The commands to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, those commands originated in the Old Testament. There are many laws and rules and guidelines that are still applicable and binding upon Christians today. Just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean that it's no longer binding. So how do we know which laws in the Old Testament are still binding upon Christians today? Well, you can ask a series of questions to figure that out. The first one is, does the New Testament affirm it? Does the New Testament affirm it? In other words, that Old Testament law, how do we know if it's still applicable? Well, does the New Testament still command us to do it? In the case of tithing, yes. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus affirmed tithing. He was rebuking the Pharisees, those religious leaders that we talked about last week, who were extremely careful about keeping the law of Moses. He was rebuking them because they were very careful to tithe, but they were ignoring other laws, other commands of God, such as being merciful and just and generous. Many of them were tithing, and then they were saying, but they weren't taking care of their elderly parents with their finances. So Jesus was rebuking this. He said this in Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, and yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These things should have been done without neglecting the others." In other words, you should tithe. It's good that you're tithing, yes, but that's not an excuse to neglect justice and mercy and faithfulness. So the New Testament does affirm tithing. A second question you can ask about an Old Testament law is, does the New Testament explicitly say that you no longer have to follow that law? For example, the New Testament clearly says you no longer need to offer those sacrifices. You no longer need to eat kosher food. You no longer need to get circumcised. You no longer need to follow the Sabbath laws. So there are many Old Testament laws that the New Testament explicitly says you no longer need to follow these. But when it comes to tithing, the New Testament doesn't say that. The New Testament doesn't say you no longer need to follow the tithe. A third question you can ask about Old Testament laws is, what did the early church believe And what did the early church practice? In other words, after the apostolic era, after the apostles passed away, they died, and all of the early Christians in that first, that were underneath the leadership of the apostles, the apostolic generation, after they passed away, what did those first Christians after them, that first generation, or really a second generation of Christians, what did they practice? What did they believe? Because really they were taking their instructions directly from the apostles. I mean, they were very close to those very first Christians. And what we see is that in the earliest church, that those Christians believed in and practiced tithing. I'll give you a couple of examples. St. Augustine, you've heard of him, one of the church fathers, he's called, one of the greatest theologians in Christian history, he said, tithes are required as a matter of debt. In other words, we're in debt to God now that we're saved. Tithes are required as a matter of debt, and he who has been unwilling to give them has been guilty of robbery. Whosoever, therefore, desires to secure a reward for himself, let him render tithes, and out of the nine parts, let him seek to give alms. In other words, not only should you tithe, but then with the leftover 90% that you have, you still need to consider how God wants you to give to the needy, to be generous, to be helpful with your finances. Another early Christian saint is Jerome. Saint Jerome, the author of the Latin Vulgate. He was the one who translated the scriptures into Latin, from the Hebrew and the Greek into Latin. That became the Bible for centuries for Christianity. And Jerome said this, "If anyone shall not do this, shall not pay tithes, he is convicted of defrauding and supplanting God." And so those earliest of Christians believed, and theologians believed in and practiced tithing. So what I'm saying is this is not something new that we've come up with. This is not a new command that we've added on. This has been practiced since the Old Testament days by the early church in the first centuries of Christianity. And ever since then, it's been a practice among Christians. As well, it's important to note when it comes to Old Testament commands, it's important to note that tithing was practiced before the law was given to Moses. And so, in other words, tithing didn't have its beginning when God gave the law to Moses to be written down. It was practiced, for example, by Abraham, by Jacob. Abraham in Genesis 14:20, for example, gave a tithe to the priest Melchizedek. And so what this implies is that tithing precedes the Old Testament law. So when you put all this together, I believe that it's a clear command in Scripture to tithe. And so this is one of the reasons, the main reasons why I do it. That's what being a Christian is all about. It's about reading your Bible and doing what it says. It's as simple as that. Read your Bible, do what it says. Number three, a third reason why I tithe is because I believe that everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. The Bible teaches very clearly, and this is common sense, but the Bible does say it very clearly, that God owns it all. God owns everything. Everything that you are, everything that you have, belongs to God. There's nothing that you have that you can say, God, you can be in charge of everything else, but not this. God, you can dictate how I spend this and how I use this and that and this and that, but not this part. This part is for me, God, and you have no right over this. There's no part of your life like that. Psalm 24, 1 through 2, it says, "The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord, for he laid its foundation on the seas and established it on the rivers." And so what this verse is saying is God owns it all, first of all, because he's the creator. He created you, therefore you belong to him and everything that you have. But then look at this next verse. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, it says, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" In other words, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're a Christian. "You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body." So the passage in Psalms, Psalm 24, teaches that you belong to God because he created you. This passage says you belong to God because he redeemed you, because Christ redeemed you by dying on the cross for your sins. And so that means that you and I, we are doubly owned by God. we belong to God twice over. He owns us because he created us and because he saved us from sin, Satan, and hell. And so that means everything that we are, everything that we have, belongs to God. This means that I don't merely owe God the first 10%. I owe him everything. Everything I have, my car, my house, all my possessions, everything in my bank account, all of my stocks, my retirement funds, everything I have is fully and completely God's. And so therefore, when God says, I want you to start by just giving me the 10% off the top, first 10% off the top, I'm saying, hey, that's easy. I mean, you have the right to ask for everything. It's all yours, but you're just asking for the first 10% and letting me live on the rest? Wow, that's very generous of you, Lord. Number four, I tithe because I love God. This is the fourth reason why I tithe. It's because I love the Lord. I don't love the Lord because I'm a great person. I want to tell you that. I love the Lord because of how great he is and because of what he's done in my life and how good he's been to me and how he saved me and how he's grown me and how he meets all of my needs and how he comforts me and heals me and takes such good care of me. And so my love for God is a response to his great love for me. 1 John 4:19 says this. It says, we love because he first loved us. The more you understand and experience God's love for you, the more you'll love him. And the more you love him, the more you're going to want to obey him. The more you're going to want to serve him. The more you're going to want to please him. And so I tithe because I love the Lord. And if he commands me to do that, I love him, and therefore I want to obey him. Jesus said in John 14:15, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You'll keep my commandments. How does love for God express itself? Through obedience. How do you test your love for God? Through your obedience. If you have an obedience problem, the underlying issue is actually a love problem. Your love for God is weak. As your love for God increases, your obedience expands and increases. And so, out of love for God, I want to do what pleases him. I want to do what he commands me to do. I want to do what furthers his kingdom. And so I tithe, not merely because I have to, but because I want to. I want to please my Heavenly Father. If that's what God wants, then that's what I want to. Number five, fifth reason I tithe is I tithe because I fear God. I tithe because I fear God. I don't deny that sometimes I fear and have anxiety over financial issues. Sometimes I worry that I'm not going to have enough money to provide for my family, that we may not have enough money to go out to eat. Sometimes I worry and have anxiety about financial issues, but I fear God more. I fear God more than that. Matthew 10:28 said, Jesus said, don't fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. As God's child, I know that God will swiftly and effectively discipline me. He will spank me if I get out of line. Lovingly, he will discipline his children whenever we deliberately doubt him or disobey him. He disciplines us out of love. And I don't want to experience that. I have. It's not pleasant. And so I out of fear for the Lord, I obey him. Hebrews 12:6 says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. God will discipline you for your disobedience. In Acts 5:1-11, you know the story of when God struck dead that husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, because they lied about their giving to the church. They were saying that they were giving more than they were. In Acts 12:23, after Herod Agrippa, he gave a speech, and the people praised him and said he had the voice of a god. And because he didn't immediately give the glory to God and say, oh, I'm not God, he's God, God immediately struck him. The angel of the Lord struck him. He was eaten with worms and died. When Jonah tried to run from God, it didn't turn out so good for him. God had a fish swallow him alive. When David, whom God had so much affection for, when David committed adultery and murder, God disciplined him firmly, killing his unborn child, and then many, many of his people were killed. Hebrews 10:31 says, "It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Hebrews 12:20 says that our God is a consuming fire. God is love. He is love, but the same God who loves and who loves to bless you is also the God who will not hesitate to discipline his wayward children. And so I tithe because I fear the Lord. I would rather be poor than to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't want God to discipline me for being unfaithful to tithe. Number six, I also tithe because God promises to bless me. God promises to bless me. Now, it's okay to tithe for this reason, because the Bible actually tries to encourage us to tithe for this reason. So it's okay to say, well, I want to be blessed. I want God to bless me, so I'm going to make sure I don't miss my tithe. I want God's full blessing. Malachi 3:10-12. This is a verse to highlight in your Bible. It says, this is God speaking, "Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house," God's temple. "Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." So God here is promising a huge blessing, an abundant blessing for those who tithe. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but this is the only time in Scripture where we're told to put God to the test. God says, "Test me by tithing. Test me and see how faithful I will be and how much I'm going to bless you and take care of you and meet your needs and over and above some." In 2014, there was a couple in our church who was impacted by a sermon on tithing. And they kept thinking about how their financial situation could either be blessed or it could be cursed. As they continued to talk with one another about the sermon, they realized that they just couldn't take it any longer. They believed the Bible was clear on tithing, and they went and admitted to God that they were living in disobedience in this area of their lives. The wife said, "I can't continue to live life stealing from God. Enough of this." So then and there, the husband and wife, they made a commitment to begin tithing, and they said immediately they felt a burden, just the burden of guilt, lifted off of their shoulders. They were still unsure how they would make ends meet, but they trusted that God would provide and show them the way. That very same week that they made the commitment to begin tithing, unbelievable things began to happen. First, the husband received an unexpected pay raise at work. It was unexpected. Then the wife experienced the exact same thing that same week, an unexpected pay raise at work. Both of them, it was not expected, didn't see it coming, didn't ask for it, but God came through and blessed them. Sometimes God will do that whenever our faith is weak. He'll do these amazing things to lift us up and encourage us. And so I tithe because I want God's full blessing on my life. I believe that living on 90% with God's blessing is much richer than living on 100% without God's blessing. And so I want God to fully bless my life. And what I found is that God doesn't just bless financially. That whenever you tithe, because tithing is just another command, and whenever you live in obedience to God, you're living underneath the blessings of God. So God blesses. Well, I've found that whenever we tithe, God has been faithful to bless us in lots of different ways. Relationally, with our health, finances, all kinds of things. But God has been very, very faithful to us. Number seven, I tithe because I love the local church. I tithe because I love the local church. I love our church. This is where tithes go. Tithes go, the majority of your tithes, whenever you give, go to fund the work of our church, Church Acadiana. And what better place for your money to go? The local church is a much better investment than the car dealership or Amazon or the mortgage company or Walmart or the mall or Starbucks or Disney. The local church is a much better investment. The church, the Bible says, is the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the family of God, the temple of God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Christ loves the church. He cares for the church. He is building the church. He's called us to be committed to it, to contribute to it. The local church is not perfect, but it is the hope of the world. The church is God's plan for world redemption. And I love the church. The church has done so much for me. I grew up in church, and God used the church to help me to find Christ and to disciple me and to grow me up and to keep me out of so many bad things. And so I love the church. Investing in the church has eternal returns. You know, I've regretted a lot of purchases. A couple of years ago, whenever we went on vacation to the beach, I decided I wanted to bring, grills out there, and I like to grill some burgers. So I said, I want to buy one of these portable grills, little portable gas grills that I could take out there to the beach with us. And so I use a Charbroil grill at my house, a nice gas grill. So I said, let me get one of these Charbroil, nice, deluxe travel grills. So I paid a pretty good penny for that grill. And we got out there to the beach, and that thing was trash. I mean, it was a waste. It got so hot, and you couldn't turn the heat down. It would only go down. I mean, you're talking 700 degrees here. I mean, it was just so hot. And I was thinking, what a waste. There have been a lot of purchases that I've made that have been just wasteful, that I regretted. But I've never regretted tithing. I've never regretted giving to the local church. Number eight, I tithe because it's easy. I tithe because it's easy. And let me explain what I mean. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home with a mom and dad who tithed my whole life. And Lydia, whenever I met my wife, she was already a committed tither. And she grew up in a home with strong Christian parents who tithed her whole life. Didn't matter if times are good or times are bad, if they're making a lot of money, a little money, laid off, whatever, they always tithed. My parents too. And so Lydia and I, when both of us started making money, we tithed with our very first paycheck. We got married. We continued to tithe. And so we tithed when we had less. We tithed when we had more. And so tithing has always been natural. It's always been easy for us. And in fact, when I look at our budget, I was looking at our budget recently, every month, Lydia and I save and invest more than three times the amount that we tithe. God has been good to us. Tithing is easy. But it's because we had the blessing of growing up in a Christian home with parents who'd always tithed and who taught us to tithe. And the point I'm trying to make, parents, is if you are faithful to God, tithing will be so much easier and more natural for your children as they grow up. Some of you, you didn't learn about tithing until you got saved, and you didn't get saved until you were an adult. And so tithing was a big step of faith for you. It was a major decision for you and your family. It was never a major decision for me. It was just natural. It was just something you do. You don't murder people, and you tithe. You know, they're just right up there, just very common sense for me. And so I want to encourage you parents to tithe, and also teach your children to tithe from the earliest age. If they get an allowance, teach them to tithe. If they get paid $10, teach them the very first dollar goes to the church, goes to the Lord. Teach them to tithe when they're young. Number nine, I tithe. And by the way, I do want to say that I'm encouraged whenever I see young people in our church, when they get their first job and they start tithing. It's really neat. They're working at, you know, these part-time jobs a lot of times, not making much money at all, and they're tithing already, and that's just a wonderful way. I can see it. It's because their parents have taught them. They grew up in church, and it makes it so much easier for them. By the way, to those people, young people, if you can tithe when you're earning a little, then it makes it so much easier to tithe whenever you're earning a lot. Sometimes we tell ourselves, I don't want to tithe because I don't make much money. But actually, it's harder. The more money you earn, the harder it is to tithe. In fact, research shows that giving goes down as a person's income goes up. But if you teach yourself to tithe, to be faithful with the little, then you're training yourself to tithe with the much. Number 9, I tithe also to set the example. I tithe to set the example for my children, but mostly for the church. As a pastor, that's one of the ways that I'm called to lead, is by example. My life is to be a living, visible sermon. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." This is the Apostle Paul talking to the young pastor Timothy. He's telling him to set the example for his church. And so I need to tithe to be an example. And here's how I want to set the example. And I think the Lord, he works in mysterious ways. But if you'll look at my life, I tithe as a pastor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not somebody wealthy like a lawyer or an insurance agent. Well, they make a lot of money. I tithe even though I'm the pastor of a small church. I'm not the pastor of Our Savior's Church or the Bayou Church or Trinity Bible, some big mega church. We're a small church with 50 people or less usually on Sunday mornings. Also, I tithe even though I'm bivocational. Bivocational means I work two jobs to support my family. I'm a pastor and I also work another job during the week. I tithe even though we're a single income family. Lydia is a full-time homemaker, so she doesn't bring in an income. And so that makes it more challenging. I tithe even though we have 6 children and they demand meals every single day. And Lydia and I, by God's grace, have always tithed. Even when we were poor seminary students, even when we were poor newlyweds living in the upstairs room of a barn, we've always tithed, and God has always blessed us beyond our imagination. So I say that to say this, that if we can tithe, and if we've been able to tithe all this time, then you can tithe. If anybody had an excuse not to tithe, I believe it was us. Number 10, I tithe because it helps me to put God first in my life. I tithe because it helps me to put God first in my life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 14:23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. In other words, the reason why God created tithing is not because God needs your money. God is very wealthy. God created tithing as a spiritual practice for you to help you learn how to fear Him and how to put Him first in your life. How does that work? Well, first of all, your money is usually the last and the hardest thing to surrender to God's control. That's what I've found. It's usually the hardest thing. It's because you need money to live. You need money to keep your lights on. You need money for water and for shelter and for food and for medicine. You need money. Money's a serious thing. And so if you can learn how to trust God with your money, how to release control of your money to God, which is the hardest thing for most people, then it becomes so much easier to learn to give God full control of the other areas of your life. So God uses tithing to help you put Him first. There's another principle at work when you tithe. It's found in Matthew 6:21. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So money does two things. Money, number one, reveals your priorities. It shows what's important to you. All you have to do to find out what's important to somebody is to look at how they spend their money. And the second thing that money does is it sets your priorities. Not only does it reveal your priorities, but it sets your priorities. And here's how that works. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." In other words, wherever you put your money, wherever you invest your money, your heart will follow because your money is so important to you. So as you give your money to the Lord, as you give your money to the church, your heart follows. The Lord, the church, become much more important to you, more central to your life. And so this is how God uses tithing to grow you, to make you more serious about your faith. And so these are my top 10 reasons for tithing. These are not all the reasons for tithing, but these are the ones that are, I think, most important to me. And the way that I want to close this morning is simply by encouraging you, if you haven't made the commitment to begin tithing, to do so this morning. And what you can do, and by the way, we don't, as you know, we don't talk about money much at church unless it comes up in the text. I don't talk about tithing very often, but I found that this is an area that a lot of Christians struggle with. And what you can do, if you're not committed to tithing, whether you're a student, by the way, it doesn't matter how much money you make, student or adult, part-time job, full-time job, doesn't matter, but remember, God says, "Test me in this." And so what I would encourage you to do is to make a 90-day commitment, a three-month commitment to begin tithing if you're not in the habit of doing it, and put God to the test. Say, "I'm going to tithe for September, October, and November for these 3 months. The first 10% goes to the Lord. And I'm going to put God to the test, and I'm going to see if he's going to provide for me. I'm going to see if he's going to bless me. He says he will. So let me put," and he says to test him. So let me take the 90-day tithing challenge and just see what God does in your life. And if things go horribly wrong, well, they won't. God's going to take care of you. God's going to bless you. I can promise you that. And so if you're going to do that, if you want to make that commitment, then I want to encourage you also to write that on your connection card. Just write the word tithe for me. Now, if you don't tithe this month, if you don't keep your commitment, I'm not going to call you up and remind you. I just want you to write that on there. Nobody looks at those connection cards but me. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that God will give you faith to follow through on your commitment, but also I want to send you a little book in the mail. And this book is about the basics of Christian stewardship. And if you'll read this book, it'll help you to develop a deeper biblical conviction about the importance of tithing. And I just want to send that to you in the mail for free. Not for free, that book was paid for by the tithes and offerings of our church. So on your connection card, if you'll make that commitment, write the word tithe, and I'll send you a free book in the mail. And God will do some great things in your life through tithing, just as he has in mind. Thank y'all for coming this morning. Why don't y'all stand with me, and I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we can visit. And I want to encourage you as you leave, don't forget to turn in your connection cards with your prayer requests and your tithing commitment so I can be praying for you this week. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together, Lord, to study your word and to worship you. I pray, God, that these words would be edifying, encouraging, faith-building for everybody that hears them, Lord. We pray, God, that our church would not be typical. It would be atypical, that it would be extremely generous, that our church would be filled with Christians who have faith and who have completely surrendered over every arena of their lives to you, including their finances, so that your church can be fully funded and fully effective. I pray, Lord, for those who are making a new commitment this morning to begin tithing, Lord, I pray that you give them the faith to follow through on their commitment. Encourage them, Lord. I pray that you do amazing things in their life to prove yourself to them over the next 3 months. As we go out of here this morning, I pray, Lord, that you continue to use us to be light and salt in the world for you, to be your witnesses. We pray that you do keep us safe, God, from the coronavirus, and that you continue to bless and to heal our community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.